of this meeting is to give you an opportunity to provide input into the development of proposed local coverage determinations. Today's meeting will be conducted in accordance with the guidelines established by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services based on the CMS guidance in CR 10901. The analysis of evidence and the summary of evidence are presented and discussed within the proposed LCD itself and have been available on our website for the past 2 weeks. We have Dr. McKinney, who is our Vice President and Chief Medical Officer, and Dr. Clark, who is our Medical Director, with us today. And Dr. McKinney will open the meeting with a few words. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for coming out on such a blustery day. Greg McKinney, if I haven't met many of you. Thank you, Paulette, for the introduction. I am the Chief Medical Officer for NGS, and this is our first attempt at the open LCD meeting, and I wanted to spend a few minutes to talk about that process, not in a lot of detail, not to review the entire material that's in the change request, but as most of you know, through the 21st Century Cures Act, CMS revised the way that LCDs are presented and drafted, and that is all outlined in the Medicare Program Integrity Manual online, Chapter 13. So if you need some leisure reading and your Ambien prescription is out, then go ahead and take on that. It's a lot to absorb. And we've spent probably, I would say, a good year in discussions with CMS about these changes that became final last fall. So wanted to kind of go over that. We did present a summary article on our website, so I will refer you to that. That came out the first of the year, which kind of overviewed the process at a very, very high level and about what essential parts of the process are different. And so I would refer you to that article just as sort of a reference there. But the sequencing of an LCD has kind of changed, and the evidence with which we present an LCD has changed. Now the sequencing is that before we even create a draft LCD that we're going to present today, our job is to go out and gather information through medical literature, medical experts, and this is a change and our CAC. Therefore, we do not have a formal, nor is it mandated, that we have a CAC meeting to present the draft LCD. Now the order is that we go to the CAC for input on the topic, much like you did a research paper. They are a source of information for us to present information that we bring back along with experts, medical literature, all those various inputs. Then we create a draft and we bring it to this meeting. So that's sort of at a very high level how the order will be. CACs, again, are not mandatory. We can make them a specialty CAC, if we will. If we're having a CAC, an LCD or on a specific topic, we can tailor our CAC to just those members. CAC members are invited to this meeting. It's open. Anyone can attend. So the lines are open, so we probably have various entities on the phone as well. So that's the order in which the process will happen. We will take present policies today, and the sole purpose of this meeting is to present the draft LCD. It's not for random topics or any other discussions. It's to discuss the LCD that was posted on the website. I understand that there may be some that are present from entities that have submitted a consideration for an LCD, and I do want to touch on that just for a second. A consideration of the LCD, first of all, this is a new process for us. It's a new process for CMS. So we openly admit that this is a process that we are learning how to best navigate. So we ask for your patience, but the sole purpose of this process is to provide transparency, to be open and communicate, not necessarily give you the answer that you want, but to give you transparency where we are. So for those of you who have put in considerations, those are in queue, and because we're trying to sort of put in motion this process, those are in motion to be considered for an LCD. So we can't tell you the status of that. CMS prohibits that because that would be privileged information. So if you're an entity that is questioning or says, when are you going to write a policy on XYZ, we won't be able to supply that to you today. So we appreciate you not asking, okay, to be blunt, because we can't tell you. But you will know when the public knows, because that's CMS's direction, is that it's all transparent. Everyone knows at the same time. So we'll publish something on the website. As soon as it's public, we'll probably give you a courtesy, hey, by the way, check the article on the website. But it has to be transparent and public to all and noted to all when we're going to put it in the docket for Q for creating and gathering information for that. So that's pretty much kind of the order that it's going in. A lot, that's sort of a Chapter 13 condensed into just a few comments. It is a slightly changed for us. The CAC has kind of taken on a new role, a new face. The order of our LCD development has taken on a new face. The transparency of the literature that we're looking at and our critique of that literature, and then handling any other comments about the literature, that has taken kind of ramped up a little bit, again, for transparency, to let you know how we thought, what we thought about the article. Again, as CMS says, the ultimate decision relies on the contractor. So we have the ultimate authority in the decision, but the process should be transparent and outlined, as I mentioned just now. So again, we appreciate everyone coming. I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Clark to discuss our one draft that we have for today, and we'll go from there. Thank you for your attendance.
I'm Larry Clark. I'm one of the three JK medical directors, along with Dr. Craig Haug and Dr. Steve Boren, who are working on other projects today. So you're stuck with me. Some of you have heard me speak to industry when Dr. McKinney and CMS let me out once a year, and I always assign homework. So to really make this trip worth it in terms of your hardiness in getting here, I'd like to recommend, and this is not an endorsement, but I do think you're going to hear us talk about levels of evidence. So something like the grading of recommendations, assessment, development, and evaluation. Grade is a good thing for you to take back to your respective companies. Another thing is one of our J6 resources, Winona State University in Minnesota, our J6 jurisdiction, put out an evidence-based toolkit. It's 4 pages, but it talks about levels of evidence, and you're going to hear me talk about that in just a brief synopsis of the policy that's in front of you. I only can add one thing to Dr. McKinney's summary, and that is that the order and sequence of the meetings have changed a little bit. In the opening meeting now, we're a little further along in the process. This is actually, this draft is becoming a proposed LCD, and we are bringing it to the public in a much more developed form for your comments. So, again, bear with us as we go down. Our CAC coming up in the future is going to be a specialty-oriented CAC, and it is going to also involve collaboration with other contractors. So we're stretching out into a new world as well. I'm here today to give a brief presentation on DL-380-14, the proposed local coverage determination for corneal hysteresis. Hysteresis is a term borrowed from physics. It's a measure of resistance to deformation by an applied force. The concept in terms of ophthalmology is basically two structures, the posterior sclera and the lamina fibrosa, where the nerve fibers exit the eye, provide a resistance to deformation by pressure in the eye, that being the process usually described as glaucoma, although it may be associated with other processes. And the concept is that using a thing called the ocular response analyzer, you measure this resistance to deformation of the structure of the eye. And as such, it is a monitoring and therapeutic guide to glaucoma and other corneal diseases. The problem, I guess, or the substance and rationale for our determination after reviewing 24 pieces of literature and 6 other policies, 3 Medicare and 3 commercial, we did not find significant evidence in support of this. When measured against other similar glaucoma predictors like central corneal thickness, there was no predictive relationship that was clear in the literature. And I will conclude with the concluding sentence. The lack of level one evidence, which is why I suggest understanding this, absence of proven clinical utility, no clinical practice guideline endorsement, and that includes the AAO and the Canadian counterpart, as well as neither Medicare nor commercial coverage, strongly argues against coverage, current corneal hysteresis coverage as medically necessary for treatment of Medicare patients. And that is basically the policy that we're here. And we did invite some folks from industry to participate. Unfortunately, nobody chose to participate. So anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Clark. So all the meeting is an open forum, again, for receipt of your information, for your comments regarding only the proposed policy. Please be assured that all comments provided will be addressed during and considered during the development of the policy. The official comment period extends from February 27th, 2019 through April 13th, 2019. So there's plenty of time to submit your written comments. Are there any comments in the room? Are there any comments from anyone who is called in? As there are no further comments being offered today, comments related to corneal hysteresis are now closed. Thank you to our observers for participation in the LCD open meeting, and the meeting is now closed. Thank you.
And this does conclude today's conference call. You may now disconnect.